Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson. We're being a black sheep. It's a good thing. You never know what they're going to say.
Well, here we go again, everybody. Hello there, Bob Granger. Are you ready to do something tonight?
I'm ready to have some fun tonight. How are you doing there, Mr. Wilkerson?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's been, if you looked at the map where they showed the flu epidemic, well, I think I was in the middle of it. Because about 5 days ago, I picked up the flu. And, of course, with my heart condition, it just about knocked me out for the count. You knew I probably wasn't going to do this show a couple days ago. And today, I started feeling a little bit better. So I'm going to try to control my coughing. I'm going to let you do more than normal, Bob. How's that?
Well, that's kind of dangerous. You do realize that, don't you?
Well, I'm a black sheep, remember? Yeah, I've always lived on that edge, and I think with you it's okay because you're probably, it's a new year, so you're trying to be a new tamer, Bob, aren't you?
Absolutely. Is this, correct me if I'm incorrect here, but is this our 11th show, lucky number 11? Is that correct?
No, you're so far off, it's pathetic.
Okay, what is it?
You don't have any idea, do you?
No, I didn't.
This is our 13th show.
Oh. Well, maybe I was just on autopilot for a couple. I don't know, you know. But, okay, it's our 13th
show.
Yeah,
so much for the lucky thing, right? This is our 13th show. You know, like when they have elevators that don't go to the 13th floor? Well, tonight we're on our 13th show. We're not skipping it.
Hey, listen, our first show, Dave, what did we have, about 50 people on? How many did we have on last week?
Last week it was over 700 people that were on. We had 1,250 plus replays in the archive, which is incredible. And I think it's because, you know, people like, we're trying to be really real with what we do, and we're being very honest. Not everybody likes honesty, but, you know, both you and I, we've always built our businesses that way, and I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be doing the same thing with the network marketing business either.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. In fact, I was always when I start up the show. In fact, I did it twice tonight. I listened to "Believe" by Sly Stallone. You know, on our homepage. Man, I love that. That gets me pumped.
Well, you know, speaking of that, did you hear he is coming out with another Rambo?
Is he really? What's he going to have? A couple of canes with him?
They showed something going up one of those stair elevators. He was, you know, going up the side of it. But, you know, I can only hope. He's done well enough. And he's doing another Rocky. I think he's calling it Apollo Creed or Creed. So they're coming up with two of them. So it's going to be an interesting time for him. I hope he lives long enough to finish them.
Yeah, that's terrible. But I do too. You know.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to be a realist, you know.
I know. So you're recovering okay from your flu epidemic?
Well, I had a couple scares. I had to, of course, for the third time, I've had to cancel my cruise. My doctor did not want me being, off land. And, you know, we're going to see. I'm going to probably go up early and get another echocardiogram done because he said that, and I felt it, you know, with the coughing I had done during the flu period. My chest is just killing me. So it feels like I've been bruised. And he said I probably bruised all the rib cages and everything. But, you know, I guess I get used to it. You know, I still want 2015 to be a great year of everything. So I'm plowing ahead and ignoring it. And by the way, you know, I mentioned this to you earlier, but I want to send out a special prayer to our good friend of ours, our Mr. Nuggets of Gold guy, Norbert Hennessy, who was in for an operation yesterday morning, you know. So prayers out to him.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a. We have to get him on the show, Dave.
Well, we will, and I'm hoping I can.
We'll have to get him to talk a little slower so people understand it. You know.
Well, yeah. Either that or I'll have to record it and then I'll edit it and I'll have a translator on standby. But, you know, I always said you don't have to understand what he says to get excited, because the excitement's just overwhelming in his voice, which makes up for not understanding what he said. Does that make good sense to you, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that does. That does. I love it.
That's sort of sad, isn't it? That it does make sense to you. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I get it, you know.
Well, how was your week? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. In fact, it's interesting, you know, everybody sets their goals and that, you know, and I had some, you know, business goals and health goals, you know, and I've been pretty religious to it. I mean, I've cut my alcohol consumption by about 75% because I felt that was important, you know,
Bob.
I can't tell you that, but it's very, very minimal right now, you know. And then I cut my gluten consumption by 90%. No food after 7 p.m. I've been exercising every day since. Yeah. I've been exercising every day since January 1st. And so this morning I was excited. You know. You've been going for a week. You know, things are going good. You're watching your diet. You're getting rid of the crap. You know, and all this stuff. And I says, "Oh man, I know I have to lose 14 pounds. I wonder how I'm doing. I didn't lose an ounce. I haven't lost an ounce yet." And I'm saying, well, what?
Well, you.
What
can,
I said. So,
you can
so make, I was thinking. I think. What do you think? You think I should just quit?
No. But you can also make yourself believe it's you're creating muscle. Okay, so you may not be losing poundage, but you're losing fat and you're gaining muscle, Bob. How's that?
Well, by the looks of things, when I look at it, it doesn't look that way. But I'm going to go by what you're saying. You know, but. But then, you know, and then also, Dave, you know, we talk about always recovering in that. I had about a couple hours ago, I had not the greatest call, you know, and a friend of mine, and he's becoming a really good friend of mine. He's been ill, and he called me up, and he said, "Bob, you're my first call, and, you know, I just want to let you know I have a cancer and things like this, but I'm going to give it heck." You know, he's a God-fearing man. My God, he's just the most wonderful person in the world. I'm telling that, and I mean that. And and it was, you know, it was very heart-rending, you know, having that news, because although I've never experienced anything like that or like you with your heart condition, I have had it touch me close, because my mother died of cancer when I was in my mid-20s. You know, and so I understand this stuff, you know, and to listen to him, he was so wonderful. But when I hung up the phone, it got me reflecting, Dave, you know, about different things. And I started thinking most recently, you know, I was thinking about the families of those individuals that were murdered by those scumballs in Paris. You know, they're going to have to live with that all of their life, that sadness and horror, you know. And so I started thinking that. I mean, there's over 7 billion people in this world, and I'm one of them. And I've been blessed with a terrific life. I've just been given a great life. I have 4 wonderful grandsons. I could go on and on and on. And I've been blessed with that. So I need to give back more, you know. And you start even thinking about, I started thinking about how cold it's been lately, and the homeless people out there. And a lot of them have had bad breaks. Not that they're bad people, they've had bad breaks. And the suffering there, you know, so you start thinking about that. And one of the things that I get concerned with almost most people is they lose track of how great they actually have it. You know, it's something that... you know, it's something that you have to focus on recovering for that, you know, and the only way you can recover from that is to be able to help more people. You know, I had a guy that came to my door tonight, and he's in a bad way financially, very bad, but he's a hard worker, and he always comes to me and says, "Hey, Grange, would you buy a load of wood from me?" You know, now I buy wood from this guy, Dave. Dave, I have enough wood to burn for a decade. And I said, you know, I says, "Of course, Carl. How much?" And he says, "Well, this load is $50. I says, "Okay, I'll do it on one condition." He says, "What's that?" I said, "Well, okay, here's your $50. I want you to go out and get dinner, you know," and I gave him some money. And then I says, "And I want you to go out and fill out your truck with gas, you know, would you do that for me? And he says, oh my God, Granger, you're a lifesaver. You know, and it's so nice to be able to help Dave.
Feels good.
You know, and
yep, it feels good.
It makes you feel good. And I'm telling you, I think 2015 is going to be a great, great year for so many people, and it could be for even more people if they have the proper attitude. You know, and I'm going to do my darndest to make it great for many people, or at least try my heart out anyway, you know.
Well, you know, isn't that bringing sort of the tone of what we talked about doing with our saga, with our, you know, taking five individuals as they track through their network marketing venture? You know, it's the same thing, right? We really want to give back. I mean, because to us, I mean, it'll be fun on the show, of course, but and hopefully they're going to be able to handle both you and I at the same time. But I also think that, you know, if we could show that you can build a network marketing business in an ethical, sound way while enjoying yourself, don't you think it's going to be more attractive to more people, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the issues I have about MLMs is the fact that I don't think they're straightforward enough, upfront enough. I think if you want this business to work, you have to understand it's a business, it's not a hobby. And you have to tell people how it is. I mean, when you go into, I mean, what is it, traditional businesses, Dave? 6 out of 10 the first year go out of business?
Yeah, I think 6 out of 10 usually in the first year you know, don't make it.
But unfortunately, those people get hurt, though. You know, they some go bankrupt. You know,
yeah.
Some lose all of their savings, their life savings, and things like this. You know, but they usually go into it with their eyes wide open. And I think that the more and more people that we bring into this business, we have an obligation to them to say, now look, you know, just because you're starting this business doesn't mean it's an automatic success ratio, because the success ratio is low. You know, but we know how to do it if you're willing to put that effort into it.
Right.
You know, I tell you, just being honest. I love being honest. It's just so simple.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point, though, about traditional businesses, because, you know, we talk about the 6 out of 10 that fail, but what people also don't know is that person that starts that business, also, that becomes their whole job. So it's not even the fact that business fails, but they don't even have an income coming in if that business doesn't succeed. So, I mean, one thing about network marketing is that, you know, Bob, are you still working? You know, you still have a company, a job, Bob?
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know what, Dave, and too,
right?
with any MLM, as far as I'm concerned, that's designed to be done part-time. And I'll never do this business full-time, ever. I will always do it part-time, and I'll enjoy it. There's no risk. And that's what I teach. I don't teach people to get rid of what they either like doing or what their main source of income is. I try to teach people to supplement it. You know, in other words,
right,
basically develop a 401k on steroids.
Well, you know, we talked about that too, with even especially right now with the cold up in the Northeast. You know, if you were getting free energy, even if you just took that money that came in each month that you would have paid for energy and invest that, you've got a shot probably better than 90% of all the people out there. Just that alone.
Exactly. Yep,
you know,
exactly correct.
Well, Bob, listen, let's talk a little bit about, you know, I tongue-in-cheek called this show, this episode, The Interview, and I was going to play a little clip from the interview, and I said, hey, you know what, they've gotten enough play. It was a bad movie that they figured out a way to make some money off of. God bless them for it. I'm sure I'll sit down and watch it, but the interviewing process, really what it comes down to is it's sort of the way that when you and I go out there and we would prospect for somebody to come into business, we're always interviewing people, right? I never felt like I'm going to try to sell them anything. I'm really trying to find out a ton of information about them, even more so than they're probably trying to find out about the business or myself. Is that how you do it, Bob?
Absolutely. Yep, you know, like you always said, Dave, it's a sorting process, and I don't want someone to come into this business or any MLM with, you know, for me, I want them to come in with a real high percentage chance that they are going to be successful in this business, and if they get to the point where they're making a few hundred dollars a month, you know, with no risk, I think that's wildly successful. And if they decide to go a little bit further, then it's up to them, and we just help them do it.
Well, I mean, I agree. I think what we can do is let's talk a little bit about, because we've been interviewing and talking to people all week, and it looks like we're probably going to kick this thing off in high gear next week, you know, provided, we've got some surprises coming up. But some of the interviews where we talk to people potentially to track them, and again, we have to tell them, we want to expose you a little bit. You know, we don't want it to be cliche-ish. We don't want you to come on the air and talk about everything is rosy. We want the good, the bad, and the very ugly. So people realize, okay, that happened to me, but it happened to them, but look how they're handling that. You know, so exactly. What happened with some of the people you talked to this week, Bob?
Well, I had some really great conversations, and we talked about the fact. In fact, you and I talked about the fact of maybe making it almost quarterly, you know, like a seasonal, and you know, if they're really enjoying it and it's helping them, and if they'd like to stay with it for another season, great. If not, if they'd like to take some time off, reflect, and keep moving forward, that's another thing. You know, I had some great times talking to the fact that we're not going to let people know who they are. They can have their first name, middle name, fake name, whatever they want. You know, so they're protected in that respect. And that way I think they'll be a little bit more honest. You know, and the fact that they'll give us a 2-minute rendition of what happened in the past week. And then you and I can do an analysis and see if we can come up with something that will help move them forward.
Yeah, and we're also going to have on other people and some pretty good-sized names that are going to come on that are going to help that process along as well. So, I mean, it could be a lot of fun. I mean, it's almost how I wished it could have been when I came into business, you know. But, again, that's what we're trying to do, make it a little bit differently. So if you want to be considered, all you have to do is just send us an email, let us know. And, again, we keep this confidential. Be Bob, myself, and you who will know who you are. And you just send us an email to BAA at 2blacksheepradio.com. Okay, and all you have to do is put on there, you know, your address of contact, the way we can get a hold of you, and just say, hey, give me a call. I'm interested. And then and we'll talk.
I love it.
And the thing is that Bob and I love to reward good behavior. You know, we want to have a lot of fun. And, again, I think it's part of the thing why I'm trying to always get myself healthy, because I don't want to miss out on all the fun we're going to have in 2015.
And the great race.
That's a whole other thing. that may be a show that will get us banned. We'll see on that one. You know, I might like to go with more of the cannibal run thing. I like the speed part, but it's okay. Well, we could be technical, I guess. You know, I could have a little trouble with that. You know, but the cannibal. Well, we get an old Trans Am. You know, I'm sure. Yep. See what happens when we get excited. We start talking over each other. Hey, listen, Bob. Let me ask you. You know, because when we start talking, as an example. You know, we're going to walk these new people through. Like when you start a new person, Bob, what do you do, and what's the most important thing that you do in that first, you know, week period of time, that first 3 or 4 days that they start up?
Well, the first thing I like to do is I like to keep things very, very simple so they don't get overwhelmed. You know, this is a part-time business, and if you try to teach everybody what needs to be done in the first few days, they can get very intimidated. I've seen it happen. And so I like to have them focus on 3 basic things when they're first starting up. I like them to start to have control of GoPro. That's the first thing I do. And, you know, to let them know the importance of the 7 skill sets, you know, and I'm going to be there every step of the way for as long as they want. And I really talk to them about communication. They need to be in communication with me. In other words, coming to me more than me going to them, because they're the ones that are right. going to have the questions. Now, you know, I also want them to have control of the Success From Home magazine, because there's so many good articles in there. In fact, the older magazines actually have better articles, and so I always have that for them to study up on them. And then, you know, like everybody talks about the list, Dave. I think a huge right. list can overwhelm. I mean, if somebody wants to have a big list, but I like them saying, okay, what five people are we going to talk to about this business? And how soon do you want to talk to them? Now, if they say, I want to talk to them tomorrow, I say, great. Let's get the five names down, but do not call them. Let's go over who they are, and I'll make a recommendation on how to contact them, and we're going to do this together. And that's how I do it. I keep it simple and fun, Dave. And so there's no pressure on anyone, and they know that they have support. And then I always recommend other people within my business, that they have for support also, even if they're not in their direct line. You know, like many times I'll recommend Judge Plumbo or Davey Moore or Laura Moore, you know, and they're kind enough to help these people, just like I'm kind enough to help any of their team, even if that has nothing to do with anything. That's how this business works. You know, and that's basically on how I start somebody, very simply.
Well, I agree. And to make it clear so people understand, when you're talking about GoPro, you're talking about Eric Worre's GoPro book and that mentality, which is to take network marketing and be professional about it. What I do when I started someone from the very beginning is sort of the same thing. I like to really understand what their goal is, what their need is. You know, so I've always talked about this before. About to me, I spend the time, you know, digging their why, and I don't mean this superficial why. I mean, I really dig deep to find out exactly what it is that makes them tick, and what it is, and why they want to do this business so bad. You know, because if somebody just tells you it's just they want to make a fortune, they want to be a billionaire, you know, usually they're going to fizzle out in no time flat, you know. But if they say something simple like, I'm scared to death, I have zero retirement, I'm scared to death, I don't have my daughter's college, she's going to start in 2 years, what am I going to do? You know, so I want to find all that out. And then I would do the same thing. I share with them the book. And why do I do that? Because it sets a great mindset for this business, you know. And then I have always been, from the beginning, I have never been a big fan of having a huge list of names. I'm not saying that you don't have those names set aside, but I like someone to have, you know, 10 names or less, and then we understand those 10 people, and we do some role playing. And that's usually what I'll do in that first week. I want to set the stage, set the foundation, because yeah, I've got to feel that anyone, especially if I personally sponsor them in the business, that they're not in this short term, that they're going to stay in this for a long, long, long time till we meet their goals. So that's how I start people,
right,
Bob, and that's what we're going to do. So it's going to be a fun and then our guests as well.
It's interesting you just said that about, you know, what they need out of this business. Last night, Dave, I had the pleasure of having a dinner with a gentleman. He's a businessman. He's a regional consultant, and he's not happy where he went in the last year. And so I said, well, let's have dinner and talk about it, you know. And the first thing, then when we started talking to him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why are you doing this? You know, I mean, this is a successful businessman, nicest guy in the world. And he said, well, to be honest, he says, I'd like to have something that I can really leave for my children. What a great goal that is. You know what I mean?
Strong,
And I, you know, he's a young guy, probably late 40s or something, you know. But it was refreshing talking to him. But, you know, it was fun, Dave, looking him in the eye and being direct with him and saying, why are you doing this? And he was the one that came to me and said, you know, I need to get better at this. You know, so we have a plan set up. You know, he's a great guy. That's, you know,
Well, I mean, that's the point, and that's actually the point of Eric's book, because he wants people to understand that this is a profession. So that being the case, you really should learn how to build this business the correct way. You know, I mean, I've got something I'm going to do in my brain hurts segment in a little bit, or well, next We're going to try to keep this short tonight because, again, you know, I was dragging. As long as I don't cough too much and irritate people, I'll continue. But let's go ahead, Bob. Let's go into your Lone Granger bit. Let's get that one.
Okay.
Because I know that for you it's always an exciting time, and it's sort of funny, is it? Our show was sort of based on the interview. So what's your letter today?
The letter today is I, and yes, it is.
Oh, so
I.
Is it about interview?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
You know, and last
okay.
week,
well,
just
let's
to let you
ahead.
Know, well, I can go into that in a minute, you know.
Yeah. Don't you worry, my friend.
Got it.
With the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver.
So all of us, let's welcome our very own Lone Granger.
Well, Dave, here we go again. You know, I always enjoy doing this show with you. You know, we've become such close friends in a short period of time. And tonight, the letter is I. Now, remember last week, you know, these are the letters of the alphabet. You know, it has everything to do with your climb up the ladder to your dreams, to your visions for success. You know, last week it was H was hang on to your dreams. You know, and so this week I started thinking, well, you know, I do actually put a little time into this, and I said maybe I should just do a single word this week, like how about like radiate? I mean, make bright, illuminate, shine. I love that. I mean, that has everything to do with life, you know. And then I thought, well, how about invigorate? You know, fill your life with life and energy, you know, refresh, stimulate. I mean, that's an important part of that climb up that success ladder, you know, invigoration. You know, but then I said, no, I'm going to do something that's even more important. And it's a little saying, in other words, and basically it's this. The letter I, or the statement this week is, ignore those who try to discourage you. Ignore those who try to discourage you. And this is important to understand. I remember, and I have a couple instances of that. I mean, when I was very young, I was in my 20s, and I was a distributor food sales representative, and had an education in hotel restaurant management, had been in the restaurant business, worked my way through college. And anyway, this one customer I was working with, you know, he came to me and he says, Bob, you know, I like your background. You've always been great with this. You're a young guy. My son doesn't have quite the discipline and direction you do, but I will back you to and I will help you in a restaurant. And here's where the restaurant's located. It's a prime location right across from IBM. We want to do Italian. We want to do this. And I was excited, Dave, because this guy was a successful restaurateur. So here's the mistake I made. I went and talked to a good friend of mine that owned a restaurant. And I says, hey, man, I'm going to be going into business with Tony and Mike, and we're doing this, that, and the other thing. And he says, why would you ever go into business with those guys? I says, what are you talking about? These guys have always treated me with respect. You know, they have a very thriving two businesses right now, and they want to do another one. They want to put me into it. No money, just, you know, like effort. And he went and he stole that from me. He didn't steal it from me. I allowed him to steal that from me. I left discouraged. I told Tony, I said, that's bad timing for me. I prefer not to do it. And Tony and Mike went and did it with another relative, and they became very successful at this place. In fact, it was across from IBM, so you know what was happening. They sold it to them for a ton of money. And, you know, and so there was an example. If I had ignored those people trying to discourage me, I would have been on the upside of that. You know, and over the years, you know, it's taken me time to understand that. And when I started my Ambit Energy business, my first presentation was the most negative, horrible thing with my three closest friends, PGA pros. And I'm telling you, it was a battle. And I was able to ignore the fact that they said to me, you know, you're going to lose your friends. You're going to lose your own business, Eastern Energy Solutions. This is a mistake, and they did everything to discourage me. But I ignored that. Thank goodness I ignored that. Because of that, I went forward and I kept on going forward, and I changed, you know, my family's life financially because of it, you know, and they're still my good friends, you know. It's just, but it's so important to understand that. And so the I in that letter for success, or that move up that success ladder and your dreams, stands for ignore those who try to discourage you. And that's what the lesson is today, Dave.
I like that one, Bob. You know, I mean, because I ignore you a lot. You know, so I like that. But you know, it's really funny, the restaurant, because, you know, IBM was one of my largest customers for years and years and years. And that's when we found out we had a mutual acquaintance, which I didn't know until, what, last year or so. But
yeah.
I remember those times at IBM, you know, which also starts with the letter I, where that place was just humming. That was an incredible, incredible corporation factory there in Binghamton and Endicott. And now it's a shell of its former self there. You know, it's sort of sad, but
sad.
That's a whole
Real
other
sad.
Story, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, you bring up a lot of good points, you know, and I talk about the things that we've done with the business of network marketing and the traditional businesses we had. And one thing that's really funny is that I've never, ever felt weird about my traditional companies. It's, you know, whenever I've gone out there to look for investors or my first series of customers, even to tell my friends that I was starting another business up, you know, it never entered my head. And I remember the first time when I got into Excel back in 93, it was the end of 93, and I had just sold my other company, and they were all wondering if I was just going to retire and float off on a sailboat somewhere, which it was very tempting, but that's not how I'm made. And when I told them what I was going to do with this telecommunication company, I remember just feeling panic, even when I was saying it, and part of it's because of the negatives that are out there of a lot of burn and churn MLMs, I call them. You know, I don't call them network marketing companies. I call them MLMs. You know, and that's why, you know, we've always been selective with what we do. And I believe without a hesitation anymore that going through network marketing is the only way that a lot of people are ever going to have a chance to get out from behind the eight ball.
That's 100%
right?
True.
I mean, I just don't see it any different. You know, I think it's up to us to make sure that we handle things professionally. I think it's also why, you know, I don't like, well, that's also part of my segment, which I'm going to hold back on it, because, you know, it's one thing that my good friend Rob will tell everybody too, is when I'm not feeling good, it's really not the time to tick me off. I mean, you know, normally I try to be, you know, my grandfather was a gentle soul. I always said he was a Southern gentleman, and he used to tell me, you know, you get more with sugar than gasoline or something, and, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, but then my other grandfather said, you know, burn the bridges down, you know, so I had the good devil and the bad devil on me. And this week I had something that came up that I'm going to have fun to share, but let's set that aside and let's talk about again what we're going to really try to accomplish with these five people. And then, you know, Bob, if you think about what, you know, because it's our goals too, you know, and the fun thing is these are people that we're not connected to. I mean, it will probably turn out that way. I mean, there may be one out of five, but they're people that Bob and I are not going to receive any compensation from them being, quote, in our downline somewhere. I don't really want that to happen, because we want to be able to show everybody that it almost doesn't matter what company it is, that you can handle things the correct way. And I believe that you can make a solid business out of, as long as you have a solid product or a service company like Ambit, you can do that. You know, if you pick up some junk, well, then, you know, first off, we're not going to choose you, because there's no chance of success. And we're not bashful about, you know, telling people, no, sorry, that idea, that's bad. No, not going to happen.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, well, I'm excited about working with all five of them, and just like your goal and my goal both, Dave, is I really want to help them reach their goals, you know, and these people are willing to expose themselves in front of thousands of people ultimately this year, you know, and I think that's remarkable on their end. And so we definitely have an obligation to do everything in our power to help them become a professional and to help them become very, very successful in this business, you know, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, because, you know, doesn't it go back to just that, you know, if their why is that strong, they're willing to go through being grilled sometimes by you and I, right? Because they want it. They want it. We want someone to want it so bad. I mean, I remember this. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, some of my favorite, you know, mentors, one of them was Fran Tarkenton. And I remember we used to do battle. I mean, seriously, in his office some days, I'd be in a bad mood, he'd be in a bad mood, and we would just clash. And I remember everybody saying, how do you two get along so well when you can fight like that? And I said, well, it's because we both respect each other. You know, because we both had
like
we both had
son,
the same
Dave.
Goal. Right? Right? I mean,
sounds like me and my son.
I know. Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, I get that too. Well, you're in a family business, and that can be tough. That can be really tough.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, that's why, you know, we really, really going to put a lot in this. And, again, we've got some incredible prizes we're going to put out there. And I know, I mean, for one thing, I can say right now, right away, is that those five people will all be invited to come up to my place up at White Lake in the Adirondacks with Bob and myself. And, you know, we'll celebrate what happened in that period of time. And we'll continue trying to map out where the things can end up for people. Because, you know, if you do network marketing right, it can be a lifelong career. You could be completely retired. You could be Bob's age and be successful in this. You know?
It's interesting that you say that, Dave. I was in Ithaca last night, and there was a young lady there, just the nicest young lady. She was a guest. And we started talking about, you know, 401ks in that. And I said, do you think that you could, you know, save $5,000 or $10,000 a year for the next 30 years, you know, and put it into a 401k? And she says, no, that's impossible, maybe $1,000. And I said, well, think about it. If you could save $5,000 or $10,000 a year and put it into a 401k for the next 30 years, do you understand what has happened with myself and with Dave Wilkerson and Kirk Horan and other people like this? Because we stayed with it and because we listened, we have done better than that with our 401k and steroids through Ambit Energy Residual Income Program. And I said, and it doesn't have to be that big. What we can do is we just start small, and then if it develops, it develops. But that potential is there for you. And it's hard for them to even understand that, you know? That's how powerful
this
is.
Well, you know, they're not raised that way. You know, we talked about that too, is that if you, you know, I was raised in an entrepreneurial type family where, you know, we, I mean, at an early age, I was convincing all the neighborhood kids to go out and cut everybody's lawn. I was organized, and I was selling a job, and I was taking half of the profit, you know, but it starts early, you know. So I think that's up to us to share that, because it is a learned trait. And we talked about, you know, listen, we're going to have a show coming up. It'll probably be in February, where we're going to have Sean Roberts, who is probably one of the best when it comes to helping people plan their do financial planning, you know, investments and whatnot. Yep. And he talks some great strategies in there, which everybody needs to understand about with this, because this is a real business that you can even making little bits of money, you can change your entire family's life with little bits of money.
Yep. Yeah, exactly correct.
You know, so, Bob, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do my brain hurt segment, because I know my voice is getting ready to go on me, and I want to make sure we get that in, because, again, it's been an interesting week. And then we'll do a quick wrap-up, and then we're out of here. It's going to be a shorter show this week, but, you know, again, each and every show is getting to be more and more fun. We're getting incredible comments from a lot of people. We love that. You know, keep your cards and letters coming. It makes Bob and I feel good. You know, we want to give. This is our year to give, and this is a great way for us to give back, because, you know, for me, I can be unable to do much of anything for 6 days, and if for an hour I can get onto the radio and do this type of thing with Bob and I and help three or four people even, that means that I have some worth to me, and that makes me feel a little bit better, you know. So with that being said, let's go ahead and we're going to start the fun part here, and then my brain hurts, and then we'll wrap it up. Well, this is Dave Wilkerson, and you're going to hear why my brain hurts now. You know, I still love that song, and I think that's why, you know, when Bob suggested that one, I said, absolutely. And I did check it. It was 1972 that they came out in that, and I remember distinctly listening to that at my good friend house, Dean Kyle, down at the bottom of the hill in Herkimer, New York. And we sat there and listened to that whole album over and over. You remember the albums? A lot of people don't know what albums are. They're those vinyl things that you put on with a needle and stuff. You know, but they were great. But look, my brain hurts a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. It's not in a bad way. It's not negative. You know, it hurts because I watch things that occur, and it's not even like, I mean, I feel like some of a very, like a protective parent. Like when you have your two daughters and you have, you know, your future son-in-law pull up in a black tinted window Camaro with chains and stuff and gets out music blaring, and your parental part of you sticks up and says, no, just keep going, just keep going. And by the way, that's a true story. That's what I told him, just keep going. He came back, he was good, married. I got two wonderful grandchildren. But this week, here's what happened. Any of you who follow me on Facebook, and if you don't, you know, feel free to friend request me. I enjoy it. I share, you know, 90% is my family stuff, you know, but I was looking at a couple things, and there was one person, I've seen that before, but one person posted on his page, and I really like this person, okay, and I'm going to try to keep him gender specific, but I really, really like this person, and I'm watching and listening, he's typing all this stuff out, and it was this long, like, you ever had one of those posts, you look at it, it's like, you know, four books long, it's 18 paragraphs, and you go, oh my gosh. And I start reading through it, and he talks about 2015, it's going to be a dynamic year, not like 2014. This new company is incredible. The old company is bad. This one is good. This is bad. I got different people. I got different – and he's selling, essentially, this new company, okay? Again, let's just make everybody understand, I have no problem if someone wants to leave one network marketing company, go to another one. If they feel it's best for them – I don't always agree. I won't always support it, but I won't tear it down. But what I will do is that if you get on Facebook and if you start bad-mouthing the company you left, that 2 months ago you were telling everybody how incredible it was and how good it was for you and your family, and then all of a sudden you flip a switch, well, I'm going to call you out on that because my brain starts to tingle and that starts to hurt because I feel that when somebody gets a special deal to leave one company and go to another, listen, that's okay, but I also think that's private. I also believe that if you do get a special deal, that when you go out there and you talk to a brand new person who may be brand new to network marketing, and you tell them, you can get to where I am. Look, I made $3,000 last month, and I've only been in this for 2 months. That is wrong. That is what I call a lie. Why? Because the person you're talking to doesn't have that option that you do. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take it. Because, you know, if you invested a lot of money building your profession and your career and you've got value, just like an employee would leave, that's fine. But you should keep it private to yourself and not use this false number as a marketing tool to convince somebody who believes what you're telling them, and then later you find out it's a big lie. And they found out that they couldn't ever get to where you got because you started out at a different place. So I called this person out in all sorts of ways on Facebook. And I, you know, again, I wasn't mean. I was just very matter-of-fact about it. Anybody who's debated me know that's how I can get. And what I did is I essentially walked him through the whole thing. I said, well, that's great. I said, now you make sure that you tell everybody that you did get a special deal, that you get compensation. Yes, you start out at the lowly position, but you're being compensated at a higher position for a period of time. And then he came back, he said, he goes, no, that's not what I did. I started my own company. And I said, well, except for the fact that it was your spouse that you put in. And I said, you know, it's no different. again, be truthful. There is nothing wrong about being truthful. There's nothing wrong about saying, you know, the company I'm with, it's just not working for me. Maybe it's probably me, I don't know, but it's not working for me. So I'm going to try something different because I've been offered something that I believe is better for myself and my family. But then don't mislead people with that. Okay, just don't do that. And that's my segment of Brain Hurts. What do you think, Bob? You know how I get.
I like it. I like it. And also one of the things too, Dave. Now, people probably can't find my Lone Granger theme song, but I'll tell you one thing: your theme song is still available on CD, benefit album by Jethro Tull, and I recommend everybody gets it because it's a tremendous, tremendous CD.
It's a beautiful one. There's no question. Well, Bob, let's go ahead and do the close. I appreciate you being on with me again tonight. I'm still down here in Charlotte. Probably down here for another week. Again, I cannot leave, so I'm going to probably go over to the shoreline, meet up with some friends, and then get my way back to Hershey Med Center, and then hopefully I'll see everybody soon. But, Bob, you want to say good night to everybody, and then I'll do our close.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just want to wish everybody their happiest and finest and most healthy new year ever in 2015. Remember that letter, you know, like ignore those who try to discourage you. And you know what? Just keep hanging with us. We're going to have a lot of fun here. And good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, thanks. Okay, here we go. Everybody, this is an interview. This is from Steve Jobs, so I think it'll help when you hear this. It's a dynamic, especially when you know the outcome.
For the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor on my pancreas. I didn't even know what a pancreas was. The doctors told me this was almost certainly a type of cancer that is incurable and that I should expect to live no longer than 3 to 6 months. My doctor advised me to go home and get my affairs in order, which is doctor's code for prepare to die. It means to try and tell your kids everything. You thought you'd have the next 10 years to tell them in just a few months. It means to make sure everything is buttoned up so that it will be as easy as possible for your family. It means to say your goodbyes.
Well, thanks, everybody, from my co-host Bob Granger, myself. We sure had another great time tonight. You don't realize how much all of you lift our spirits as well. So remember, you know, when you got nothing else to do, go take a look at our twoblacksheepradio.com website. You'll see all the shows. This is actually our 13th show, so we're looking forward to starting off this whole new year in a fun way. So remember, you know, it's not always bad to be a black sheep. It just makes us a little bit more unique. Everybody have a great night. Bye.